Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Oregon State goes to Cal this weekend. I'm excited about this game. Oregon State's offense, Cal's defense, good matchup. Isaiah Hodgins joining us, Oregon State wide receiver. Hey, before we get started on the college football, who's your pro team, Isaiah? Who do you root for?
The Arizona Cardinals.
Man, how did that happen?
Yeah, my dad plays for them, so you know I gotta stay loyal to the soil.
Was that easy? Like, after dad's gone, have they been easy to root for, or do you?
When they went to the NFC Championship during, like, Cam Newton's, like, MVP season, you know, that was, like, a heartbreaker. But, you know, like, you know, they made it to Super Bowl a little bit before that when, you know, Fitz was more in his prime. And then that championship, you know, I had hope. And then the past couple of years has been real bad ever since we lost Carson Palmer and everybody. But, you know, we're trying to rebuild right now, but I don't think we're really rebuilding the right way. But you know, we're getting there.
When I was a kid, I had Joe Montana and Dwight Clark, and I had John Taylor and Ronnie Lott. Those were my guys. 49er fan. Had the posters on the wall. Whose poster was on Isaiah Hodgins' wall?
Larry Fitzgerald, one of them for sure. Anquan Boldin was one of them. You know, my grandpa's house, you know, where I was always at all the time. He had, you know, signed posters of Jerry Rice and people just like that. But, you know, just really some of the biggest wide receivers out there.
Isaiah, you guys had a tough one against Utah. Physicality became an issue up front. I was walking around the field before the game, and they got some big dudes. They have 19 guys that are 305 or bigger. That was a big physical team. What did it feel like out there on the field?
You know, I just feel like, you know, we just didn't execute what we had to do. And, you know, there's some signs that we just shot ourselves in the foot. And, you know, I just didn't make all the plays that I think I could have made, you know, as a elite wide receiver in this conference. And I feel like I had a couple opportunities to change the game that, you know, I didn't. So, you know, I got to be a little bit more hard on myself and, you know, just practice a little bit more deliberately and, you know, just come out there and have a better week next week.
It's, you know, I could see them trying to get you going. But when things start to cave in like they did, and you know, you see Utah playing the way they are, they had a week off, you guys didn't, that has to be frustrating out there. How do you stay focused? How quickly do you regroup as a team and get focused on Cal?
You know, we immediately did that. You know, it's a real rough game, but we didn't really have a game like that this season. So, you know, it's kind of hard on the team, but, you know, we're trying to flush out our system right now. You know, came back with a solid practice today and, you know, a good game plan. You know, coaches walked through what we did bad and, you know, what we could have done better. And, you know, just trying to come out here and, you know, just execute more and get ready for this another good defense that we're playing. And it doesn't get any easier from here.
What do you see when you look at Cal on film?
I mean, they run a lot of similar coverages and defenses to ours. So I feel like that would be in favor of us. And that's good, you know, because we've seen a lot of defenses that they've ran before, and our defenses kind of do the same thing. So, you know, they're really talented in the back end, have really good DBs that all play together, have good chemistry, all kind of older guys. And, you know, defense is just always in the right spot at the right time, and they don't really mess up or bust coverages or anything, and they're really well sound. So we have to really make sure that we execute and stay in our A game.
You say, hey, look, it doesn't get any easier from here, and it's true. There are no gimmies on your schedule the rest of the way, but I look around the conference and I see, you know, teams that are beating each other on a given day. How much does competition, how much does competing just have to do with that?
You know, it's just huge. And like you said, you know, any given day, people are out there just getting beat. And someone seems like a top dog this week, and then the next week, you know, they get beat by a team maybe that people predict that they shouldn't be. So I feel like that's just huge. And, you know, gives us confidence, and we just have to go out there and just compete, execute, and be competitive every single day.
Our guest, Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State wide receiver. There are some guys after a bad game that want to watch the film. They want to pore over it. There are other guys that go, there's nothing good in that film. I need to turn my focus to the next opponent. Which kind are you?
I'm both. Like, I definitely didn't want to watch it, and it was dragging, and didn't want to see anything. But I know I had to get better. So, no, I feel both sides, but I know that I have to watch it to kind of flesh out my system, see what I can do better, see what I can improve on. You know, just kind of have that pro mentality and then move on to the next.
I think that it was a hard game to watch, even from the press box. But I also think Utah's pretty damn good. Of the teams that you have played to this point, which team was most physical? Is Utah stand at the front of that line?
As far as physical, yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard, like, from a wide receiver standpoint. You know, you only get hit a certain amount of times, and maybe when you're crossing over the middle and stuff like that. So, you know, when I watch on film and stuff like that, it really tells me most physical. But, you know, it's kind of hard for me to experience it firsthand. But I definitely think Utah is up there. I think Stanford did a good job, you know, trying to stop us and be physical as well. And, you know, I even feel like in the secondary, UCLA at times, you know, they were trying to be physical. So, you know, I feel like it's more just week to week on who you play.
We're talking to Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State wide receiver. You're on social media and you're active there. How much of a distraction is social media? I see some coaches who say, I don't want my guys on social media. Other people, hey, say, I like them on social media. It's good for them to be expressive. Where do you stand on that?
I feel like social media is good for, you know, any given person. And I feel like social media can be a really good job of, you know, building your brand and, you know, getting your voice out there, you know, what you want to say and how you want to go about things. And, you know, I feel like if you're using it to, you know, uplift your teammates and help others out and sit there and be a positive influence on your team, and, you know, then social media can be really good. But, you know, if you use social media just to, you know, it's the you, or, you know, start arguments and, you know, get in fights with fans and stuff like that, then it could be a distraction. It could be bad. But I never really let my social media be a distraction. And, you know, of course, there's going to be people saying bad things about me on there that I see, or fans tweeting at me, or, you know, critics saying that I'm this or that. But, you know, I try not to pay too much attention to that and try to just focus on my own game.
When we make the movie about Isaiah Hodgins' life, who's going to play Isaiah Hodgins in the movie?
I want Will Smith to play.
I was looking at one of his kids, and I was thinking, by the time you get there, I think probably Jaden or Trey, one of his kids.
Yeah, somebody in that family.
I love that. You know, I also think, like, you know, I'm a sports fan. That's how I got in this business, and I still like watching games. Do you watch, or do you follow the NBA? Do you follow, of course you must watch the NFL. What do you watch that's away from college football?
I'm a Lakers fan all the way since I was a kid. Since Kobe Bryant, since I first started watching basketball and I saw Kobe Bryant on that court, I was a diehard Lakers fan ever since then. Did the good and bad, so people can't say I'm bandwagon or anything. I was with them when Torres Achilles and retired, and we were winning 20 games a year to, you know, when we got LeBron and AD now. So, you know, I'm with them all the way.
That summer day when Anthony Davis, the news breaks, all right, the Lakers got Anthony Davis. How, like, what did you do? Where were you?
I was at the facility bragging to everyone because we have a lot of Warrior fans on our team. And I, like, you know, everyone thinks I should be a Warrior fan because I'm from the Bay, but what I've experienced in the Bay Area is just a lot of bandwagon Warrior fans.
Yep.
Nobody really liked me when they were bad. And, you know, when they had, you know, Aaron Davis, you know, they had some good years, but the bad years that they had with him and stuff like that, and it was just bad, and nobody was a fan. And then the second Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, they started winning championships, and all of a sudden everyone's a Warrior fan, and I didn't like that. So, you know, I've just never been a Warrior fan for that reason.
How did you become a Lakers fan? Like, what was that moment where you go, okay, this is my team?
I was really just, you know, I kind of like you, I just grew up kind of a sports fan. You know, I was football, basketball, running track. You know, my brother was playing baseball. Like, we were kind of just all over the place doing that. You know, when you're a little kid, and, you know, of course, at the time, Kobe Bryant's in the prime, and, you know, you shoot a jumper and everyone screams out, like, Kobe or, like, something like that. And, you know, that's kind of who was, like, my idol, like, in basketball and, like, who I wanted to be like. And just grew up watching him, his highlights and everything that he did. So the second that I saw him, just playing in that Lakers uniform and just killing it. I was like, yeah, this is my team for sure.
If you happen to be at, you know, Moda Center for a Blazers game and they're playing the Lakers and you got a chance to, you know, meet LeBron or go back and meet Kobe from your, you know, your childhood. Kobe happens to be at the game. Are you more interested in the guy who's on the court now or telling Kobe, hey, man, I followed you my whole childhood?
I'm going to Kobe. I could care less about who's on the team. If it's anybody in the basketball world, I'm trying to meet Kobe Bryant just because his mentality, you know, how he changed the game, what he did for the game, that's definitely who I look up to.
Do you think Kobe's better than Jordan?
Yes.
You're nuts. You're nuts.
We can argue next week if you want about it.
All right.
You can bring yours and we can go back and forth.
All right. Go beat Cal this week. We'll talk about that next week. And then bring your best Kobe is better than Jordan argument with you. You got all week to prepare.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Isaiah, appreciate you, man. Good luck to you on Saturday.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There's Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State wide receiver. Kobe better. See, here's the problem with this, and it's the same thing that plagues every time somebody does a list of the 100 greatest athletes or the 10 greatest draft picks. It's always the guys you see that you think are better than everyone else, and then everybody who's older than you has seen both and has the context, understands that this isn't even a conversation. Michael Jordan versus Kobe. Which one is better? Who's better, LeBron, Michael Jordan, Kobe? We start dragging other people into this conversation. To me, it just comes down to, I look at the supporting cast that Jordan had, and yes, he had a Scottie Pippen. Yes, he had some other role players that were good role players. And I just look at the sustained success and the roadblock that he became for people in the West and in the East who never got to win a championship because Michael Bleepin' Jordan was not going to let anybody beat him at anything. Tic-tac-toe, checkers, hopscotch, thumb wrestling, he would kick your ass. If Jordan and Kobe in their prime had met on a court, or Jordan and LeBron had been in the league at the same time, I have no doubt that we would view Kobe Bryant and we would view LeBron like we view Dominique Wilkins. Really talented, special player, maybe one of the 50 greatest of all time, but he never won a title. 503-417-7575. Are you with me, Michael Jordan? Or are you with Isaiah Hodgins, Kobe? Or are you with the LeBron lovers out there? 503-417-7575. LeBron James has caused a stir with some comments about Daryl Morey. We're talking about LeBron. We're talking about Kobe. We're talking about Michael Jordan. I think we need to help Isaiah Hodgins out. He's a good kid with a bright future. But man, does he have a blind spot when it comes to greatness in the NBA. He believes Kobe is the greatest of all time. Where does the 1-2-3 on the Kobe, LeBron, Jordan totem pole? I'm going Jordan at the top. I'm going to put Kobe second right now, and LeBron. I'm going to put Jordan. I'm going to put LeBron third. What do you think?
I've got Jordan top. I've got LeBron number two, and I've got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar number three.
Well, I'm saying 1-2-3 with those guys.
Oh, with those guys. Okay, you can't add another one. Kobe third easily.
Why do you put Kobe third easily?
Because he wasn't efficient. You know, they talk about the clutch gene. If you look at his clutch numbers, they're actually very bad. Very, very bad numbers. I think he was overrated on defense, especially. He made some all-defensive teams that he didn't deserve where, you know, Jordan was a true two-way player. LeBron with the finals appearances, even though he only has the three titles. But if you look at surrounding talent, you look at some of those Cleveland teams, not that great. Kobe had help, man. He had Shaq. He had Pau Gasol. It's easy to forget how great Pau Gasol was. Even Lamar Odom.
All right. On paper, championships, Kobe 5, LeBron 3. Mm-hmm. We're putting Jordan number 1. I'm just talking about who should be in the place and show positions on this list. Kobe's got 5 titles. LeBron has 3. Kobe played 20 seasons. LeBron's at number, this will be 17, I believe. Playoff appearances. Kobe, 15. LeBron, 13. All-Star games, Kobe, 18. LeBron, 15. All that stuff. The only thing that matters to me in that comparison is the five titles to three that I look at. And by the way, LeBron got handed one. MVP. Kobe was one time the season MVP. LeBron, four times. Advantage LeBron. NBA Finals MVP. Kobe, twice. LeBron, three times. All-NBA first team. Kobe, 11. LeBron, 12. Even. All-NBA teams, 15 apiece. Defensive first team appearances, Kobe 9, LeBron 5. All defensive team, Kobe 12, LeBron 6. NBA scoring leader, Kobe 2, LeBron 1. By the way, rookie of the year, LeBron 1, Kobe nothing. Points per game, very comparable, 25 to 27, different eras. I'm gonna leave that one alone. Rebounds, LeBron's a little better rebounder. Assists, LeBron's a little better distributor. Total points, Kobe's got him just by a nose right now. LeBron will pass him this season. Assist, all that, we already talked about that. Field goal percentage, LeBron shot at a higher percentage, but Kobe was a virtuoso. Yeah. If you're going to see somebody conduct the NBA orchestra, you're going to see LeBron as the conductor, okay? He's going to be terrific. He's going to get some other people involved. If we're going to a concert and it's going to be one NBA performer on stage under the spotlight, I'm going to see Kobe.
I mean, Kobe had the virtuoso is a great way to put it, but that's only part of the game. The entertainment factor, even then, though, LeBron's such a physical freak and just watching him make everyone better. But, yeah, I mean, Kobe could do things driving to the lane that you haven't seen, frankly, since MJ. He ripped MJ's game off, and he's one of the few people that could actually do it. It's just he's overrated. Playing in L.A. and having that swagger and really being an MJ clone when fans were so desperate for Michael Jordan after he retired multiple times. I don't know, though.
L.A.
overrated.
Swallows some guys up. Like New York and L.A. are not easy places to be successful.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. He could handle that pressure. He had that mentality that we laud in sports, even though it's generally unlikely.
If LeBron doesn't win another title, he plays out three more seasons, he walks away from the game, three titles is all he got, does it change your mind?
No. No, LeBron is already.
You think this is
Kobe.
Done? This discussion's done.
It is done. Yeah, absolutely.
503-417-7575. By the way, LeBron didn't help himself coming out talking about Daryl Morey. I'm going to play those comments here in a second. Alex is in Hillsboro, wants to weigh in. Alex, give me your 1, 2, 3.
All right, you're going Jordan 1, Kobe 2, LeBron 3.
Thank you. I agree with you right now. LeBron could change my mind. I got to see. He's two full titles, Peter, behind Kobe.
So Robert Horry is number four on that list.
Oh, come on!
Right?
Don't try to change the argument. It's these three guys, star players. You can't say the trainer won six.
I didn't say the trainer tried to do that. Titles are important, but it's not the end all be all. It's not even necessarily the number one factor.
Adriana, you've been quiet to this point.
I agree with Peter.
No.
Thank you.
Because you guys it's a millennial thing. You've only what you can see think is great.
John's eating too much raw chicken, man. It's nothing with his brain.
I want to play this comment from LeBron. All right, Daryl Morey, we all know, came out and tweeted in support of the protesters in Hong Kong. It has ignited a storm of controversy with things flying around in the air in the NBA. LeBron was asked, should Daryl Morey deserve to be suspended? Should he get punishment? It has caused a subsequent storm. Here's what LeBron said.
I think when we all sit back and learn from the situation that happened, understand that what you could tweet or could say, and we all talk about this freedom of speech. Yes, we all do have freedom of speech, but at times there are ramifications for the negative that can happen. When you're not thinking about others and you're only thinking about yourself. So I don't believe, I don't want to get into a word or sentence feud with Daryl Morey, but I believe he wasn't educated on the situation at hand. And he spoke. And so many people could have been harmed, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, spiritually. So just be careful what we tweet and we say and what we do, even though, yes, we do have freedom of speech, but there can be a lot of negative that comes with that, too.
Last question, please. Do you believe that Daryl was killing for him when he did that? Is it research?
That's just my belief. I don't know. That's my belief. That's all I can say. I believe he was either misinformed or not really educated on the situation. And if he was, then so be it. But I have no idea, but that's just my belief. Because just when you say things or do things, if you're doing it, and you know the people that can be affected by it, and the families and the individuals and everyone that can be affected by it, sometimes things can be changed as well. And also sometimes social media is not always the proper way to go about things as well. But that's just my belief.
All right, there's LeBron talking about the Daryl Morey comments. I want your reaction to that. I'll give you mine.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.